Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it.
It's up! It's up!
Here's a chance. That goal. Shot, rebound. Score! On the line with our pal, Matty Lang. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just a beautiful Monday morning here. Yeah. And everywhere in Ontario, so feeling good for a Monday.
Hot as shit, man. Basically everywhere but Ottawa. So it's all right up here, but I hear you guys are getting it bad. So
yeah, it's definitely air conditioned and mojito weather. Mojito Mondays.
I'm not sure I've ever experienced air conditioner and mojito weather, but I'll have to try it out.
You don't know what you're missing, buddy.
I'm sure I don't. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this article, which I've already posted at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Just about this study that some PhD candidate has done, and essentially analyzing the Blue Jays fan base and kind of shitting on everybody a little bit, in the sense that apparently a hierarchy has formed and it can be quite mean more than it's unifying.
Listen, Matt, before we deep dive into this,
yeah,
can I just say that if I knew you could get a PhD by studying sports,
oh man,
and fans,
I'd be, well, I'd still be poor, but I'd be well educated and poor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know. The research to me that this PhD candidate is doing doesn't come off very educated. I think we all understand that when studying sports fans online, you got your dicks and you've got your people that are overly positive, and most people fall somewhere in the middle. But some of the methodology that they used, for one thing, they studied almost exclusively the 2017 season, where it was pretty easy to be negative about the Blue Jays, and they really only pulled the tweets out of the team's sponsored hashtags rather than, you know how it is. Most of the time, people, like, when you fall into the Toronto Sports Twitter account, most of the people with really big followings and who engage all the time don't use a ton of hashtags, and they're certainly not using the official ones.
Especially not the one that's Let's Rise.
Right. And they flat out admitted in this write-up, and it was in the National Post, like I said, it's posted in all the usual places, that they ignored or didn't study at all anything from 2015 or 2016 where the team was successful and people were positive. And maybe it shouldn't matter, but I do think it's important in terms of context to note that, man, it was a shit show last year and it was hard to be positive about the team.
If you look at, and sadly I've spent a lot of my life reading research papers,
yes,
and you know what, if you take a small sample group like that, and I think it ended up coming out to like, you know, just shy of 9,000 tweets they analyzed, right? Or
yeah,
just over 8,000. That's a fairly small sample size. That's like one Jays game.
Right.
Right? I mean, that, if you want to talk about sample size, it's not huge. It's still an interesting deep dive for sure and something cool to look at. But
yeah,
even if you had looked at 8,000 with the team hashtag over 2 years.
Right.
Or 3 years. Or maybe compared it to other teams in the same division or in other like markets.
Right,
I think it becomes a little bit more valid, or teams with similar records or something to that effect, right?
Sure.
But I still think it's kind of a cool look.
I agree with that. It was worth looking at. I just don't like how it was looked at, I guess, right? The other thing I'm going to let you continue, but the thing that I forgot when I was teeing this up, they also were searching for tweets that use those hashtags and mentioned fan or fandom. Now, I don't know about
yes,
you. If I'm talking about, if I use the word fan or fans or fandom in a tweet, I probably am doing it too shit. No one tweets, we have the best fans in the world. It's all like, I can't believe the fans are doing the wave again or things like that, right? So,
or I can't believe that fan threw a beer.
Right, at Shinsu Chu or whatever, right? So to me, that was important as well because you're really straining through these tweets and looking at very specific things. And I don't think there was ever any doubt that you were going to get more negative back than good using these search parameters.
For sure. It'd be interesting, and I might have missed in the National Post article if it's actually being published, this research, or if this was just a presentation based on the research. Because those are two very distinct things
true.
In the academic world, right? One is you're putting something together and you're sharing where you are in your research.
Right.
And bringing it up and maybe trying to get some feedback from other academics. And the other side is it's already been peer reviewed by your peers.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's gotten that far. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually in a case like that, they might actually come back and tell you, hey, these are the reasons why it's wrong. Or within the article, you have to point those things out yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's actually just kind of at the initial stages or just kind of, you know, some. Maybe it's just hobby work for this researcher while they're doing something real.
They said it stemmed from going to, I believe it was a Packers and was it
Seahawks,
the
right?
Seahawks, that's right. It was in Seattle. And they saw some Seahawks fan yell at someone in a Packers jersey, fuck the Packers. Now, I live in Ottawa and I wear Leaf stuff around. I've been through this particular thing before. I had to do the walk of shame back from the market after the 2013 Game 7 Leafs Bruins loss. And had all in a Leaf jersey and I had all kinds of people. I had a car go by me and the guy stuck his head out the window so far I thought he was going to hit me like a dog sticking his head out the window going, fuck Toronto. I'm like, all right. Like, it wasn't even like the Sens just beat us, but I get it. The thing that did make me laugh was a dude was wearing a Blue Jays hat. You're like,
yeah.
Could you not have at least yelled, fuck the Leafs at me, you fucking hypocrite? But
yeah. Maybe not be so hypocritical. And you know what? To follow up on that story and kind of to tie this all in, if they had looked at the 2015 season,
yeah,
I had a similar walk home one day after Jose Bautista hit the shit out of a baseball, threw a bat up into the moon.
Nice.
And I've never seen, I mean, having been far too young during the championship years.
Right.
Walking outside of that stadium, trying to find a bar, the entire street was shut down. The cops didn't know what to do.
Right.
You know, we're a little bit more reserved now in Toronto, or maybe just a bit more mature. Nobody's climbing light posts anymore, but people were stopping, you know, they were just getting out of their cars. People were high-fiving.
Yeah.
I was hugging people on the street.
Yeah.
It was just, it was a total, like, just.
It's a love-in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you had looked at that, it gives you a little more context, but I digress on that point, I suppose.
Yeah, I want to kind of circle back to this area. I guess my point was that if you're going to be put off by a Green Bay fan being heckled in Seattle, a Penguins fan being heckled in Philly, you know, an Islanders versus a Rangers fan, like these sorts of things, I don't know whether or not she was making a point in this article that Blue Jays fans are particularly heinous for this, or if the Blue Jay fan base was just one being used as the example. Did you have a better handle on that than I did?
No, I think all I got from it was that she's Canadian.
Yes.
And maybe that's why she decided to use the Jays. And maybe it's because if you're going to run a study in Canada, it's probably easier to pick either the Raptors or the Jays, which is the national team for lack of a better term. Where if you pick an NHL team, you're more than likely going to get some fan hatred naturally, right? And
yes.
We see those guys like Bonks Mullet and stuff and, you know, chirping Leaf fans. So that's gonna play into those tweets,
market to market across the country. Yeah,
exactly.
You're pretty tied in to the Toronto sports Twitterverse, for lack of a better term, and you participate, you go to far more games than I do. Do you feel like the Toronto, do you get that vibe online? Everybody sees negative tweets, but do you feel like it's overly... The thing that I get probably more than anything else, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, is the quote tweet, right? Where rather than engage in a point that you've made and reply to it and have a debate, I'd rather just grab it, point at you, and show my audience why you're an idiot, right? And some people, I've had it done to me. I do it to people. I think it depends how you lay your point down. If you're clearly saying, I'm right, you're all stupid, and this is why, then yeah, I'm going to quote tweet that and go after it. I have just as many engagements with people that are more of a reply, more of a conversation. I wonder if you have a handle or a feeling on what the percentage of those interactions is for you, if you feel like it's overly hostile.
Good question. I think you are in a very good minority of people who actually reply to tweets with a level head.
Right. Sometimes. And
occasionally.
Yeah,
say,
exactly,
right?
Man.
And anybody who's listening to this and follows you on Twitter would know that, right? And you're more likely to engage with people. When I see tweets like that, I tend to just bypass them.
Yeah.
Because they tend to come, for lack of a better term, and maybe this is a little bit what this article is pointing at, but from a certain type of fan.
Yeah.
It was interesting how she, for me, how she classified people, right? There was a quote in the paper that it was, you know, the dominant group, the most vocal, but also peaceful and positive, right?
Yeah.
The true fans, and I'm quoting it now, but who preach unconditional support based ballpark decorum, yes, and the importance of having a wealth of knowledge. And I'm like, those three last things don't necessarily go together.
No, that's true.
At all. Because I would consider myself a diehard Jays fan.
Yeah.
But there's no way I'm giving them unconditional support.
Right.
You know, if I'm paying my money and I'm watching my games as I do, I have a right as a fan to be critical of a team.
Yep.
If I feel, and every fan does.
Yeah.
I obviously think I'm smarter than they are, but and most of the times I am.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
But I think that's where this becomes kind of a tricky study to look at.
Yep.
And a tricky, I don't want to say tricky to comment on, but because you do see a lot of people who are bandwagon jumpers, and especially from the 2015-2016 where we had full stadiums all of a sudden.
Yep.
Into 2017 where you couldn't even buy a ticket because they were all sold out, and that's when the team went bad. You have a group of fans who kind of knew the Jays weren't great, but maybe also didn't understand why they weren't great and why they were great now. And I think that's where guys like you and me tend to lose
patience, if nothing
lose
else.
Lose patience is the word, thank you, with those fans.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's always fans who, and this is one they pointed out in the article as well, fans who grab balls, you know, that are in fair play. Well, let me tell you, that's been going on since, I've been going to games since 1989 when Sky Dome opened up, and that happens every year.
In every ballpark across the league, right? Like, it's just sometimes it's a brain fart, sometimes you're drunk, sometimes it's...
Yeah.
Steve Bartman, man, he had a documentary made about him, had to hide out after costing the Cubs a trip to the World Series. Like,
and he was just in his seat.
Yes, exactly. You know? No, it's...
I don't know if you caught the tweet that went a little viral, and I want to say Sportsnet spewed it out or Bar Down or something, but it was the father who reaches over and interferes in play. This was just this past week.
Oh, I did, yeah.
The wife turns at him and starts yelling because she knew it was in play.
Yeah.
And she actually had to come out and issue another tweet to say, this was me, FYI. Don't yell at my husband. We're like season ticket holders. We know baseball.
Yeah.
He was talking to my daughter.
Right.
The ball gets hit. He looks over. The ball's coming towards him. He just grabs it.
Right.
And it was just one of those, like, you know, perfectly timed photos, yeah, that kind of got
it happens, right?
Out, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, does that happen? That happens. That's not a big thing to me. When it comes to Jays fans, it's the cursing, it's the swearing.
Yes.
It's the people drinking beers on the GO train coming in to the game.
I don't know anything about that.
never hooligans.
Right.
There was a game on they moved a lot of the Saturday games to a 4 o'clock, 4:30 start.
Yeah.
And I happened to be at work and leaving around the same time. Probably leaving at about 3 o'clock, so about an hour before first pitch. And I got to tell you, I don't think I saw anybody sober on Front Street outside of the stadium.
This past Saturday?
Two Saturdays ago.
Okay, yeah.
Against Boston, okay. The long weekend game.
Yep.
That's where Jays fans in particular, if you want to talk about ballpark decorum.
Right.
That's where Jays fans, and it's I think that's well known across the major leagues that Jays fans tend to be drunks. But that's at the stadium, and that actually upsets me more. And that's where I get on my perch a little bit more than actual people just tweeting out, to be honest.
You know what? God love them. Because if you're willing to get drunk at the Dome at $12 a pop, you gotta want you're committed. You gotta want it bad, right? Like, so no, I hear you, and Toronto does have that reputation. I can remember debating with fans from other markets during the that crazy ass seventh inning during the 2015 ALDS against Texas, right? And I'm just getting this barrage of tweets as I'm kind of searching through. Toronto always been trash. Everybody's just drunk, throwing shit on the field. And it was hard to defend because everyone was drunk throwing shit on the field. But as you've stated, there was this uptick in bandwagon fans all of a sudden, right? Like for years and years and years, you'd had your kind of core 20,000 that went, and it was too low, but that knew the game, knew the decorum, knew what to do. All of a sudden, the stadium's full with the bandwagon guys, and now shit's hitting the fan. So it should be really easy to draw a line to see, okay, these are people who's here because it's the cool place to be, or, you know, they've jumped on the bandwagon, and they have no skin in the game if they want to act like a shithead because they're probably not coming back.
Mm-hmm,
And as, you know, we talked about going into the 2017 season, your hardcore baseball fans who'd been around forever probably didn't know it was going to get that bad, but knew they were getting ready to take a step back. You've pointed out, rightly so, that they had still sold a butt ton of tickets through the offseason, mostly to the corporate people, the bandwagon people who still believed this was the thing now. This is how it is. I'm going to buy it all up, and didn't understand where the team was at, right? And so now you're left with angry, pissed off people that have these tickets that to a team that sucks, right? And so, they're ornery and they're acting like assholes again, and the team's doing shit. I think it was, you know, for a terrible time to try and pull off a study like this under these types of parameters. And I just don't really feel like Jays fans are all that different than most fans. I mean, most NFL Sundays, it's like 6 hours of drinking before kickoff out in the parking lot, right? The shit can get ugly, and you got your people who are just there to have a good time, and you've got your people who are there to watch the game, and you've got your people who are there to just fuck shit up and get drunk, right? And
It's set up to failure in that case, right?
A little bit, yeah.
And unfortunately, so is baseball sometimes. I mean, even at $15 a can of beer at Skydome,
yeah,
people are there to do that. And baseball is a slow-moving sport. In hockey, there's the rush in between periods.
Yep.
In basketball, there's a rush in between quarters.
In That's baseball, a good point.
You kind of just grab your beer whenever you want to grab a beer.
Yep.
Which is a huge issue in a game that can last 3.5 hours.
You know, that's a really good point. When you get to the Leaf game, and I'm sure it's similar to Raptors, you grab a beer. Maybe depending on how early you got there, you have time to kind of finish that and grab another before you go to your seat. But mm-hmm. then you're probably there till the end of the first. You go for a piss and a beer. End of the second, maybe you go for another piss and a beer. So it's probably 4 beers tops, right? Where, like you said, a Blue Jays game can go. It's a hot summer day. You got time to kind of go up whenever you feel like it and get more and get more. And they keep coming down the aisle with more for you, and it's a totally different vibe, right?
Yeah, it provides a different atmosphere for sure, you know. And you definitely get that seventh inning stretch, just bolt to the beer stand for your last beer.
Yeah,
no matter how many beers you've had,
that's true.
And after having been at way too many 15 inning games in the last 3 years,
I think I'm a bad luck omen for them. Maybe I'm good if you want to see Kendrick Morales pick. But
I don't.
So let's say I'm not a good omen.
Yeah.
You know, you want that last beer.
For sure.
And probably some food while you're at it.
I have a feeling, and I don't know why I think this. I guess I could be wrong, but I have a feeling you've probably seen more sporting events in other venues than I have. I've seen the Leafs a pile of times in Ottawa. I've seen the Leafs with you in Detroit, right?
Yep.
But that was kind of a mixed.
Yeah.
I've never really had any, you know, this thing where fans of the same team can eat each other alive. I don't know how much I buy it, at least in Toronto being that much different. Even when I've gone to other buildings, opposing buildings, I've never really had terrible luck. I've had people kind of give you a look or Leafs suck or whatever as you walk, but it's fine. The guys here in Ottawa have a good time with it. You know, programs, $10, $15 for Leaf fans, right? Just stupid shit like that. That's
good
all
fun, harmless. Though.
Yeah. Have you had any kind of really ugly experiences in other buildings?
The only time I was ever worried was at Fenway.
Right.
And not actually outside of the stadium or at the bar, but actually inside the stadium. We were on a bus tour with, you know, 100 other Jays fans. And when we showed up, half the stadium was Jays fans. And the Boston fans were not happy about that.
Right.
And then you get a bunch of Jays fans in tight games. You know, Stroman was pitching game one. It was a tight game. I think we lost 2-0 or 1-0. Game two, we came back, hit a couple timely hits, and Osuna comes out and pitches great in the ninth. And, you know, we're chanting. And we got, you know, the Jose chants and Osuna Matata chants and that sort of stuff. And Donaldson MVP chants. At that point, they start looking at you a little differently. And at that point, they start yelling back at you. But nobody got aggressive.
Right.
Nobody, you know, they start giving you looks like, okay, you're at our place now.
Right.
The only guy we thought was actually going to give us trouble, kind of your, if you could just draw your Irish Boston fan, you know, and he actually got up out of his seat and starts yelling back at our group, and we thought, oh, okay, maybe we've crossed the line too much.
Yeah.
He found me and Holly at the end of the game while we were all walking out. We just happened to kind of bump into him.
Yep.
And he actually said to us what good fun that was and how it was great to actually have a rivalry like that and have fans that cared enough to travel and cheer, and how it was all in good fun.
Yeah.
And then later bought me a beer at the bar.
Sweet. Yeah, and like, I think when you and I did the, with Holly, did the Winter Classic at the Big House, it was different because it was almost half and half, right? And so it wasn't too crazy. And frankly, the Leafs sucked. Like, they weren't that worried. There was nothing to be worried about, right? They won the game, but they weren't going to be a factor in the playoffs. But I do think sometimes in the heat of the moment, right, especially you talk about Stroman pitching, he has a tendency to get under people's skin. And so during the game, I can see you get a little, fuck, this is annoying because it's not going my way. But when it's over, you know what? Fuck it, right? You're cheering for your thing. I'm doing my thing, and it is how it is. And I've been to enough Leaf games, too, down in Toronto, where when Montreal comes into town, it's – Leaf fans like to give Ottawa a lot of shit for how quickly there's a lot of Montreal fans who roll into Toronto, man.
There's a ton.
It's unsettling, right? And it's the same thing. Like, it gets under your skin a little bit, but when it's over and fuck it, right? I found most of the time that I've been to anything like this, it's more often than not until someone gets really drunk and stupid. Most people are just there to have a good time, and you can have these kind of jabs. And I think that guy you're talking about in Boston is probably more the rule than the exception, right? There's maybe 5-8% of sports fans who are just douchebags about it and ruin it for everybody. But
yeah, I think there's a reason why you see those videos go viral in the NFL games.
Yeah.
And like you alluded to, it's because you start drinking at 10 a.m. and you don't play until 1 or 4, or 4 p.m., right?
Yep.
So I think that lends itself to a certain type of person in general. And I have heard stories of people driving
fucking
in
December in Buffalo. You need to do something to stay warm, man.
Well, at least they started jumping on burning tables.
Yes, it's true.
To amuse themselves. Talk about a fan base.
Honestly.
You should. They should do a Twitter search on their tweets.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Bills Mafia.
That'd be fun.
Right? I mean, this is the thing, right? I mean, it was an interesting study, and Twitter's being used more and more for these social studies because it's cool that you can take a pulse of a group of people at any point in time.
Yep.
Which is really interesting to see into that many people at one particular point in time. But you do have to take it with a grain of salt. And I think, you know, the ones that this study's in particular referring to would be things like, you know, Smoke, who, you know, had one good year it's last year, but let's use him as an example here.
Yep.
You had a lot of people jump on the Justin Smoke bandwagon.
Yeah.
And I thought they should have traded him immediately.
Trade high, man. Sell high.
Right. And I think we're seeing that now. And for somebody to come out now and say, hey, Justin Smoke sucks, and then have another fan jump in and go, well, he's my favorite player.
Right.
That's maybe where you're getting this fandom hierarchy start to really form.
Yeah. Last year, maybe it was someone's first season. Oh my God, Justin Smoke's amazing. He's the one who helped me fall in love with the Blue Jays. I love him. Your long-standing Jays fan goes, yeah, that guy, he was never going to last. He was never going to be any good. And now all of a sudden there's tension between the two fans because you're coming at it from two very different perspectives.
And a very recent example, and now the Jays are the worst ones, the Jays and Sportsnet talking about this right now, but how great is it that Russell Martin's playing left field and shortstop?
Oh, my God.
Isn't this a cool thing? And this is exciting, Jays fans, and some people love it. And I know you and I hate it.
I do not care for it.
Why is a 35-year-old bat catcher playing left field?
Right.
This doesn't make any sense to me. never mind left field, shortstop.
Honestly, man. That's
like, you know, the team just bunted away the season at that point, right?
Well, and like, I'll almost, and believe me, I understand that it's ridiculous, I'll almost give them a pass at shortstop just because they're so battered, right? Like, that was their seventh op. So it's not like they just woke up when Tulo's hurt, I guess we'll go with Martin. That was our seventh shortstop we've used this year. At some point, you just point at someone and go, I don't know, Hugo, I guess. Left field, yeah. You got guys like Dwight Smith Jr., especially when you're facing Price, he's pretty good against lefties, right? Like, mm-hmm. What are you doing? You had options here. It was just laughable to do that today.
That one, in either case, it hurts because if you're going to put Russell Martin on shortstop,
yeah,
you might as well have kept Uriel up.
Sure.
And just let him take his bumps.
Yep.
I don't think he's, you know, whatever you're going to lose with his bat. Well, let's be honest. Russell Martin's not even hitting anyways.
That's it.
So you're not losing anything on a bat, and you're gaining something defensively.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. It's
just a simple equation to me, yeah, outside of the fact that the Jays are already in, you know, they're in retreat mode already, and they're just trying to give the fans something to talk about.
Well, and you wonder, if we're going to fall way out of this, does this become a thing where over the course of the season, and you're already seeing people talk about it, does Russell Martin play every position before the end of the season, right? You're just,
yeah.
Is that something that we can talk about? And hey, look, that's fun because you're 13 games out in July or whatever, right? And we're not there yet, but we'll see.
I hope the season doesn't come down to that. And again, this is maybe me being on my perch and at the top of that hierarchy a little bit. To me, that just makes the team look like a farce.
Of course. Agreed, man.
Like, that's just a farcical thing to do in today's game. This isn't 1970, you know, where shit like this could have happened.
I think they said 1969. That's impressive that you came up with 1970. I think they said 1969 was the first time there was ever a back catcher who played third, short, and left all in the same season. So pretty much nailed it, man.
And of course, baseball would be the one sport that tracks that shit.
Honestly, man, they got numbers on everything. You can find the article Like I said, at Tall Can Audio on Twitter or at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We've also revamped and redone and restarted the Patreon feed. If you want to check that out, you can do so at patreon.com/TallCanAudio. On Twitter, Maddie is at Matthew Lang. There is an I in Lang. You can probably find that if you forget, just at our page, like I said. Maddie, it's an interesting piece, an interesting study in fandom. I don't know how scientific it actually is, but it certainly makes for an interesting conversation.
100%.
Appreciate you jumping on, my man.
Anytime, and let's go Golden Knights.
I was going to ask, do you want to throw down? We are doing this just before puck drop on game one. You want to throw down a prediction?
I say Golden Knights, ooh, in five.
Ooh, he's got it being not even close. I kind of like that, man. That's ballsy. There's a giant chocolate Marc-Andre Fleury at the Bellagio Hotel right now that it's like it's life size, man. It's 6 feet tall. I kind of want to take a big bite of it. Yeah.
Solid.
We will talk to you all on the next Tall Can Sports.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.